morning, everyone. Brother Philip does such a wonderful job with the songs that he chooses. I don't know if it's coincidental that the songs that he chooses really strike my heart and relax me and help me for what I'm going to speak about. But the first song that he chose was "Joy to the World." And the first line says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him a room." And that's what I'm going to speak about today is everyone's heart and the heart condition that we have. Everybody has a heart condition. And some have physical heart conditions, but those are not the conditions I'm going to speak about today. I got to say, it's been a very challenging week, personally, for me this week. And I'm going to try to get through this without too much emotion and keep my emotion out of it and deliver the message the Lord has laid upon my heart. But I may be jumping a little bit. This tragedy in Connecticut struck me relatively hard this week. I had been in Kaylee's school teaching junior achievement as part of a leadership program that I'm in, and it was the most joyous time I had all week. I had my corporate review, so I had my big bosses down from Canada, and I know that I have my real boss in the room right now, and that's the Lord Jesus. So we'll begin with a small prayer. And before we pray, I just want to read a couple of pieces of scripture in preparing the message that the Lord had led me to, that have given me some understanding of this week and the events of this week. First is in Galatians 1 and 4. "Who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." And then John 16 and 22. "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." So if we could keep those pieces of scripture in mind, we'll open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are but earthen vessels here by your grace, held together by the Holy Spirit that indwells amongst us, here by the love of our Lord Jesus and the passion of our Lord on the cross of Calvary are we saved. We thank you, dear Lord. We love you. We pray this morning that this message that you have laid upon my heart be delivered to ears that can hear and understand, to hearts that are open to receive your message, hearts that have a choice to make. And we pray, Lord, that everyone here open their heart, receive the message, and accept you as Lord and Savior. We think of the tragedy this week with the families in Connecticut and the loss that they are suffering. We pray that your presence be felt, that they will turn to you for comfort during this sorrowful time. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us all, that we can take our next breath, because there is no assurance that tomorrow we will have that opportunity in these earthen bodies. So we thank you, dear Lord, for your love for us, and we ask now that this message be received and understood, and all that we do be to your glory, praise, and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So it's kind of a little bit of a weird week, and I'm going to try to stick to the schedule. And I've got quite a few portions of Scripture to talk about the heart and the condition of a man's heart. And the heart can mean a lot of things. It can be positional, and it can be the devotion of the heart. It can be the physical heart. I'm not talking so much about the physical hurt today. However, I do need to share a little secret with you, only because of some things that have occurred with my parents. And I was told by somebody that I have a lot of respect for that, you know, it's probably a good idea sometimes with my personal stories to put them up front in the message, and I believe it is a good idea. So I wanted to talk today. I would like to ask for prayer. I have a little bit of a heart condition, and I'm going to have a small procedure tomorrow, so around noontime. So if you could keep me in your prayers around that time for everything to go well. But my family, my sister and my dad have heart problems. And so, of course, today on the drive down, it's a point of discussion. But it's amazing how the Lord gives you an opportunity. So this week I've talked to vice presidents about assisted suicide and all kinds of weird topics this week. And then I had some joyous moments with teaching Kaylee's class, junior achievement and entrepreneurship. And then we had a great visit with my folks. So I want to tell you a little bit about that before we get started into the scripture. And it should tie in here, so bear with me. And again, I'm trying not to be emotional about some of these topics this week. So we have preconditioned heart challenges, and my dad has had this procedure done a number of times, and it affects him more than it affects me. I hardly know that I have. It's a rhythm problem, and I hardly know that I'm out of rhythm, but he goes out of rhythm and his head drops and he's very lethargic and he needs to be hooked up to the battery charger and reset. So today I asked them to pray for me, and that's the opportunity the Lord gave me. And I said, you know, it may or may not be something, but anytime anybody's messing around with your heart, it could be a good outcome, it could be not so good. So, and I asked each of them. I speak individually on the phone. So I asked my mom, and she said, I said, Mom, I don't know if you pray anymore, but if you could, I'd like you to pray for me tomorrow. And she said, I will. And then my dad got on the phone, and for those that have met my dad, he has a little bit of a different disposition. And I said, Dad, I said, and I told them both I love them, and between me and my dad, he has a hard time reciprocating that. I know that he loves me. He just has a hard time to verbalize that. So, and again today, he had a hard time with that. So, but he thanked me, which was nice, and he said, you know, I do say the odd prayer. And I said, okay, well, you can say an odd one. For me tomorrow, but they said, and I don't mean odd in an odd way, I mean occasional. I do say an occasional prayer, and I said, well, it'd be good if you could say one. And he said, okay, it's going to cost you $70. So, well, that's my dad's way of joking. So it was nice, and it was a great opportunity to talk to the Lord, my dad once again about the Lord. And I did get to talk to my mom a little bit about the tragedy that had happened and some feelings around that. But there are 10 attributes. There are more than 10, but there are 10 that I called out, and I'll read portions of Scripture that will talk about these 10 things. Man's heart is evil. A heart can be hardened or softened. When you think of Pharaoh in Egypt. The heart can be a reference point or a position or a place, like the heart of the subject or the heart of the matter. If you use all of your heart to seek the Lord, you will find him. Deuteronomy 4:39 is not asking you to contemplate, and we'll get to Deuteronomy 4:39. It's not asking you to contemplate God in your mind, but rather in your heart. Remember, when we think of Isaiah, God's ways are above our ways. Sixth point is, don't believe in your heart, that your prosperity comes from your own hand. Don't deceive your own heart. Everything you've been given and blessed with comes from God our Father. Turn your heart to the Lord and don't put false idols before Him. That's point number 7. And man, number 8, is man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. So true. And in 9, in the Psalms, it describes the blessings and help we can receive when our heart is in the right place. We can be saved, we can rejoice, we can be strengthened, we can be cleansed, and many more things. And then finally, the Lord's own words. We are taught many things about the heart. This week, I had an opportunity. I've had a very challenging couple of weeks, but with traveling to Canada and corporate review, but one of the things that I was able to squeeze into this week was a visit to Kaylee's grade 5 class and teach about junior achievement. And I taught about entrepreneurship and having a business and what it means to have a good and a service and a profit and a revenue. And the task that the kids had to do was create an advertisement. And they created an advertisement for a category. So some of the categories were medical, transportation, communication. So one of the kids created this neat advertisement. They were in groups, 7 groups of 3 or 4 kids in a group. And the advertisement he created was a hover phone. And this hover phone was a new invention that he thinks can come into existence. And it hovers right in front of your face, and you never have to touch it. It's completely, truly hands-free. And it comes with a cup holder on the side of the phone. And it was kind of neat, and it's funny out of the mouth of babes what comes. But we were talking about it, and he had a really nice poster done of it. And they had to say how much the price was, who the customers would be, and the features of the idea. So he said, the phone is going to be $700. But he said, don't forget, there's a $50 monthly data plan. So he went on, and I was talking about, has anybody seen, and this is how things, I'm telling the story so you get perspective. And everybody needs perspective, because in this world it's so dark, and you can chase the wrong thing, and you can focus on the wrong thing. The whole message today is your heart stayed upon the Lord? Is your heart conditioned upon the Lord? And that's the message. That's bottom line on the message. Is your heart right with the Lord? So we were talking, and I said, does anybody here see an episode of Star Trek? Anybody old enough to have seen an episode of Star Trek? And one little guy said, yeah, I saw Star Trek. I said, well, how did they transport people from... how did they transport people? Because he had the transportation card. And he said, well, they put them in a spaceship. I said, no, from the spaceship to the planet. He said, well, they stepped on this thing, and it scrambled all their molecules, and it beamed them to the planet. And then when they wanted to come back up, they got beamed back up. And I said, that's right. So I said, anybody else here see Star Trek? And one little girl... had a different first name. Her name was Maris. And Maris said, I haven't seen Star Trek, but I know my dad has. And I said, well, why is that? And she said, because he's just as old as you are. So the perspective that kids have. So I'm having this great joy on Thursday. And I'm in there almost an hour and a half. It was only supposed to be 45 minutes, but they let me run in through the recess, and they didn't care. They were having a blast. And I brought some popcorn, and I heard a couple of them say to Kaylee, your dad rocks, because they really like the popcorn, right? But then on Friday, my boss told me about the tragedy in Connecticut, and it struck me really hard, because I just can't even imagine how somebody could do that to adults or children, but especially what had happened. So we need to pray that the Lord's presence be felt for those families. So if we could turn, there's a lot of scriptures. Some of them I'll ask you to reference in your Bibles, and we'll go down. And then some of them I will just read from my page because we probably will struggle with getting through everything. But Genesis 6 and 5, please. And the reason I'm doing this message has got nothing to do with my procedure tomorrow. This message was what the Lord laid upon my heart, so, but it's a little challenging. Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And it's funny this morning. I say it's funny. It's amazing this morning because when I was listening to the brothers pray, quite a few of the brothers. John's opening prayer, Brother John, was, "Father, you know our hearts." That was one of the words that he used in his prayer. And Brother Brunel said, "Actual praise comes from the heart. He helps us from our hearts." And then there were Psalm 81 and 12 reference to heart, and Mark 7 and 21 reference to heart as well. And I can remember before I came here, there were quite a few challenges about transferring me from Canada to the U.S., and Mr. Irving had to get personally involved. And when he got involved, he had only one question for me. He came to my office. He was disturbed that he had found the news that I had declined the position, and I had declined this position numerous times below Mr. Irving's level and then finally to Mr. Irving for various reasons. But he came to seek my boss at the time, and he was fairly disturbed. And he came in, and my boss wasn't available, probably a good thing at the time. And he came in to see me, and he asked me only one question. He said, "Fred, is your heart still in going to New York? Is your heart still in going?" And I said, "Yes, Mr. Irving, it is." He said, "Okay, then leave it with me." And by 1 o'clock that day, everything was straightened out. It's amazing how that works. So your heart has numerous different attributes, but when we look at the definition of the heart, it's a hollow muscular organ of vertebrate animals that by its rhythmic contraction acts as a force pump maintaining the circulation of the blood. It also could be a playing card marked with a stylized figure of a red heart. It can be a description of your personality or your disposition, a cold heart. It has the emotional or moral distinction from an intellectual nature, a generous disposition, a compassionate heart, a leader with heart. It can be used to describe love and affection. I won her heart, as an example. Or courage, never lost heart. And then the description: one's innermost character, feelings, or inclinations, knew it in his heart, a man after my own heart. Or it can mean the central or innermost part. You can learn things by heart, by memory, by rote, or take things to heart, have great concern. So the heart has many connotations or definitions or applications, but I want to talk about the heart of man. Now, the first piece of scripture we read about was man's heart is evil. And if you could turn with me as well, just a little bit further ahead in Genesis 27 and 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessings wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." So you can have a murderous heart. And then if we could turn to Exodus 8 and 19. This is describing the plague of the lice in Exodus 8 and 19. "Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." And then Exodus 15 and 8. This is a positional reference on the heart. Exodus 15 and 8. "And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were concealed in the heart of the sea." And now quite a few verses in Deuteronomy 4 and 29. This is scripture showing if you seek God with your heart, you will find the Lord. But if from Deuteronomy 4 and 29, "But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Deuteronomy 4 and 39. And God is everywhere, so if you seek him with your heart, you will find him. And this is what Deuteronomy 4 and 39 is pointing out. "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." And Deuteronomy 5 and 29. Just a few pages over. And this verse is the Lord describing, if they had the right heart, the blessings that they would have. In Deuteronomy 5 and 29, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." And that's describing receiving blessings. Deuteronomy 6 and 5. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," in your heart. And Deuteronomy 8 and 17. So. "And thou say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." Now, that's a verse that I want to focus on for a second, because That's a person saying that they have achieved things, that it's through their power that they have achieved things. God is warning the people not to forget where their prosperity came from. You must always remember you're here by the Lord's grace. And it's not of your own hand. Whatever blessings and talents you have been given that have helped you succeed have been given you by God. It's just to keep in mind. And a lot of people, when things are going well, they don't need a Savior. They don't need God in their lives. And they turn to God when things aren't going so well. Well, I remember talking to somebody of a different faith, and they told me, well, we don't go to church in the summertime. And I said, so you have a part-time God? And he said, well, no. I said, well, if something happened in the summertime, would you pray for help? Well, yes. And I said, you don't feel it necessary to worship and praise God the whole year through? And he didn't have an answer. So we need God all the time. Could we go now to Deuteronomy 11:16, please? Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. There's another point I wanted to make. Do you have other gods? False idols? Are there things in your life that are more important? Is it money? Do you seek money more than God? Is it another person or a relationship? Do you love somebody else more than you love God? Is it a car or a house? Have you put any of these things ahead of our Lord Jesus? Because if you have, your heart's not right. Your perspective is not right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So, just some questions, some things to think about. Joshua 24 and 23. Joshua 24 and 23. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. This is something that was very hard for me to understand as a young man. But I'm so glad that somehow, even before I was saved, the Lord helped me deal with this. But oftentimes, you get caught up with what I call window dressing. A beautiful looking woman, or a beautiful car, or a lovely house, and you lust or seek after these things. Things that are corruptible and tend not to be eternal and last forever. And you need to focus on the eternal and not the temporal. Not things that will decay. And in this verse in 16 and 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And that is so true. I showed Kaylee's class when we were talking about advertisements. I brought in a Justice magazine. And it's not a legal review. It's a magazine that a lot of little girls like to buy clothes from. And from the front cover to the back cover and every little girl in the middle of the magazine, they all had a big bright smile on their face. And that's the purpose of advertising. Every little girl that looked at that magazine, oh, they're happy. It's got to be because of the clothes. Well, where's your happiness? Is your happiness because you're delighted that you have a red sports car or a material thing? Because you can't take, like the old saying goes, never saw a U-Haul trailer hooked behind the hearse pulling a load of money to the grave. What are you taking with you? You came into this world with nothing. You're going to go out of this world, and if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, you're going to go out better than you came in. But it won't be money that you're going out with. Something far more valuable than earthly possessions. So, where was I here? 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 24 and 5. I included this piece of scripture because your heart can feel guilty. And David's heart, his men thought that Saul was being delivered to him, but David knew that the Lord hadn't given him any direction to harm Saul. 1 Samuel 24 and 5. And it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him, or hurt him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And my comments, this verse is so meaningful because it describes how David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off a corner of the king's robe. He knew that it was not for him to harm Saul, but to respect him until the Lord removed him. How many times do we follow our own hearts when it is not stayed on God? And we try to impose our will and not follow the will of God. This can apply to many things today. Our feelings about our world leaders, maybe a supervisor, maybe a work colleague. And then Psalms, and we don't have to turn to all of these because of time, but I'll read some of them. Psalm 7 and 10 says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Psalm 13 and 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So mercy. Be of good courage. In Psalm 31 and 24, it says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 34 and 18, the Lord is nigh, or the Lord is near, unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 61 and 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So understanding that there is a higher power. In Psalm 73 and 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then Jeremiah 24:7. Or before that, it's Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Clearly, this tells us that we should not trust our own heart, but we should put our trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 24:7, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Now, if we could turn to Matthew 5:8. Matthew 5:8, in the Lord's own words. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure is a fancy car, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is the Lord, then that's where your heart's going to be. Matthew 15:8. And this is talking about hypocrites. People that say one thing or act a certain way but don't mean it. This people draweth nigh or draweth near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. So they say nice things. But their heart is far from me. And the Lord sees your heart. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Matthew 11:23. I kind of went backwards there a little bit. I'll just read it and we can. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So the power of belief. In John 14:27, the Lord said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, some beautiful words of assurance from our Lord. So again, through these scriptures, we've seen 10 attributes, at least, and then some. In the beginning in Genesis, the scripture tells us that the man's heart is evil. And then we read about in Exodus, how a heart can be hardened with Pharaoh. And then we also read how a heart can be a reference point in a position when we reference the sea. And then number 4 was we read scripture that told us about if you, with all your heart, you seek the Lord, you will find him. And then Deuteronomy was not about your mind or your thoughts, but about your heart. And then we also talked about don't believe in your heart that your prosperity comes from your work or your anything you've done, but by the gifts and blessings of the Lord. And then we also talked about not putting false idols before Him. We also read scripture that talked about the choosing of David as king and talked about don't look at the outward appearance because the Lord knows your heart. And then in Psalms, we talked about the different blessings. And then finally in the beautiful scriptures of our Lord, the Lord's own words. So the next portion here is words of assurance. And I want to just give, and I didn't know where to fit this piece of scripture, but in Acts 5 and 3, if you could turn there for a second. It's an example of what can happen when your heart is not right. And it's talking about Ananias. Maybe I'll start from verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. So he died immediately upon hearing those words, because his heart wasn't right, and he lied to God and the Holy Ghost. Again, as I started, when I thought of what happened this week with the kids, I found comfort in the scriptures in Galatians 1 and 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So I guess what I'd like to add to that is don't kid yourself. This world is full of evil. And if God be for us, who could be against us? Comes to my mind. You need to have the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You need that protection. That's not to say bad things won't happen. But it is to say that you'll be safe if they do. Forever. John 10 and 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In Romans 5 and 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In John 16 and 21, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So in summary, is your heart stayed on God? Is your heart condition? It's fixable. You need to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. You need to repent of your sin and admit that you're a sinner. No one here can say that they haven't sinned. We're all sinners. And you need the Lord. You need to know you're lost to know that you need a Savior. And if you have any questions, afterwards, you can see myself or one of the brothers about what that means to be saved, to be born again, to have a new life. You know, your heart and your brain, structurally, they're about the same as everybody else. And this is one of the things, when I think about God's creation, I think oftentimes, I see the evidence of God all around me in creation, every day. Every day, He shows me something different than the day before, something beautiful. And when you think about muscle tissue in your heart, it's a special type of tissue, heart muscle is. And structure is probably the same, mine, same as Andrew's, same as everybody else. But evolution can't explain why your mind, being the same type of cells, is completely different. Mine is different than Andrew's, different from everybody else. And evolution can't explain that. You know, that's because God created us all. So, and of course, once you accept the Lord as your Savior. And then the final verse of Scripture that I had before I close in prayer, and then there's a hymn, Have You Any Room for Jesus, hymn number 356 that we could sing in the end. But it's Proverbs 3 and 5, well-known piece of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's where Fred, before he got saved, was really hung up. I thought I was smart enough to figure everything out from start to finish, from the first word in Genesis to the last word in Revelations. And when I figured out how it all knitted together and worked, I could be saved. Well, it doesn't work that way. You need to trust the Lord, as I have on my first page here. Faith is the confidence in the trustworthiness of God. It is the conviction that what God says is true and that what He promises will come to pass. So we need to have faith. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So I'm glad everyone's here today and heard the message. And we'll close in prayer, and then maybe we can sing hymn number 356. Gracious Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in the presence of Your Son, our Lord and Savior. We know through Scripture, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst. We thank You, dear Lord, for being with us this morning. We thank You for drawing nigh to us in our time of need. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessing of salvation, for Your free gift. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. There's no good works found amongst us that could merit salvation. It's only through Your perfect work and Your perfect sacrifice and passion on the cross of Calvary, where You loved us first before we loved You. It's Your ways are higher than our ways, and Your understanding is above ours. And it's through faith. It's through faith that we come into Your presence, Lord. We love You. We worship You, we praise You. We thank You for the blessings of this day. We thank You for the ability to draw our next breath. We thank You to be able to come in and out of this chapel in fellowship and in love. And we ask that Your people and the people here listening will go forth and treat one another with more kindness, with more love, with more compassion, with more understanding. And that they appreciate one another, and that all that they do be to Your glory. Praise be to Your name, dear Lord. We thank You for the privilege of worship. In Your holy and blessed name, all glory and honor be Yours. Amen. Hymn number 356. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore
Yeah. Great song.